All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So great to see everyone here safely here with that fog. We can start with, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it." We'll let the kids settle in here and we'll begin our worship service. What a great crowd. Welcome, kids. Good to see you all. All right, let's enter into worship. We'll do our call to worship. Loving God, our Father, you gave us your Son, the Savior of all, lying in a manger. In this holy season, bring us into the mystery of your love, joining our voices together with the angelic host. Above that, we may give you the glory on high. Help us to be like the shepherds and look on this special gift with awe and wonder. And we'll begin our service with singing the first verse of "Angels from the Realms of Glory." Seated. We'll go over our announcements. So December 22nd will be the children's Christmas program, and that's at 7 p.m. On January 5th will be Communion Sunday. The service are Eleanor and Mary. On January 5th, annual meeting reports are due. Please make sure you give those to Caroline. On January 8th, Women's Fellowship at 1 p.m. That's a super, as in S-O-U-P-E-R, card party. Hostesses are Terry and Cheryl, and devotions will be Pastor Bonnie. On January 12th, the annual meeting will be held after the fellowship. And then on February 12th, looking out well into the new year a little bit, Women's Fellowship at 1 p.m. Hostess is Veronica James, and devotions are Mary Miller. And
okay, I have a couple announcements. Being as Pastor Bonnie's not here this morning, I can say it out loud. We are taking up a collection for her for our Christmas gift, so if you want to give anything, you can give it to me or Lois, and we'll make sure that we get it in the card, and we'll give it to her on December 22nd. At the church program. And another thing, Terry wanted to know if we could change the soup dinner or the women's fellowship to Tuesday or Thursday. So talk to her and see whichever day is best for you.
She can do either.
Yeah, she works on Wednesday now. And another thing is there's a box out there on the table that has light bulbs in it. Stuff that we found that we don't want anymore. So if you want it, they're not LED lights. That's what we use here. So they're just regular light bulbs. So if there's anything in that box you want, take it.
All right. Sounds all right. Does anybody else have any announcements that we haven't gone over? Okay. Well, we can go ahead and release the kids to Children's Church. So good to see all the kids, isn't it? I think that's about as many as I think I've seen on any given Sunday. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm up here and they're all probably trying to figure out why I'm here. I probably should have said something. All right, so we're going to go with our scripture reading this morning. Comes from Luke, chapter 13 through 15. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." All right, we're going to go on now with our prayer and praise report. Does anybody have any praises they'd like to bring up? Absolutely. And it's a praise to have Kay and Bruce back, by the way, as well. And so welcome back.
I pray my wife for waiting on me hand and foot for the last, I don't know how many days.
Mm-hmm. And Buster and Kay. What did he want to say?
All right.
I'm glad that Mayo Clinic denied my case. And I sent the denial to our daughter Ginger to read it. She was at a party for a bunch of nurses for Christmas. And as soon as she mentioned that, three of them said, "Your mom needs to go to the University of Chicago." But they were being booked out pretty far. And that same day, I got a referral from a doctor that he said I didn't need neck surgery. I probably would have already had that Peoria and I wouldn't have needed it. And he referred me to the same doctor at the University of Chicago that Ginger's friends were talking about. So I feel like that's where I'm supposed to be. So I'll be going there in January.
January 9th. All right, any other praises? Any prayer requests?
Tom's surgery is scheduled for December 30th.
Where is that at, Janice?
It's going to be at Northwestern in Chicago.
Okay. Anyone else with any prayer requests?
My niece, Rhonda. Rhonda Chase.
Any specific?
No, just the flu, I guess.
Okay, so just pray for healing?
Right. She said I'd left her so weak.
And our daughter, Ginger, is still going through a bunch of testing. They don't know what's wrong with her. She has an appointment a couple days after I do with another specialist. And she's been having trouble breathing and very lethargic. And they did a CAT scan with dye, and she said her chest lit up like a Christmas tree in all the lymph nodes. But they don't think she had that test where they went down her esophagus and went out and got all the lymph node tissues, and they don't think it's lymphoma, but they don't know what's wrong. And she's a nurse, and it's hard to keep Ginger down. She still is going to work. I don't know how she does it.
All right, anything else? Certainly should be praying for Bonnie as well. She's not only having a good time, but for safe travels home. So trying to think of anything else. I was going to say, is nothing updated?
I talked to her yesterday, and I always ask her, no better, no worse.
All right. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and we'll enter into prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, giving you thanks and praise for this day and for the gift of our lives and for the freedom to be able to gather together and worship you, Heavenly Father. We're just so very grateful for that. And Father, we are so grateful as well that we know that as we gather together and pray now, you are here with us. And so, Father, right now we want to begin with praises, and we praise you, Father, for all the children that have come, not only today, but if there have been others who have come previously, that you will continue to draw them back to the church, and that you will encourage their parents to not only have their kids come to church, but that at some point they would join them as well. Father, there's nothing like a child bringing a parent to the Lord. And Father, we just pray that through all the teachers who are working with the kids that may happen. So, Father, bless and be with them all. And, Father, we're just so very grateful to have Bruce accompany with Caroline today. Welcome them back, and for the healing you've brought in his life, please continue to bless and be with him, too. And, Father, for Buster and Kay as well, for your healing for Kay from her surgery, dear Lord, please continue to give her your healing and good health, Heavenly Father. And, Father, we're praising you for Cheryl finding a new doctor, Father. It was certainly difficult when we found out we were being denied by the Mayo Clinic. But, Father, you are in control here, and we know that. So thank you for bringing this doctor and this facility to our attention, and that we're getting good reports about that. And so that gives us peace, especially Cheryl. And, Father, we lift up before you Tom Bickett, who's going to be having surgery on December 30th at Northwestern. Heavenly Father, bless and be with him before the surgery and give comfort and strength to him and to Janice and to the rest of the family as well. Dear Lord, we pray that you'll guide the doctors and those who are attending, guide their hands and help them to perform this surgery to the best of their ability. We pray that everything goes well with that surgery and with Tom's recovery as well. And Father, please again, just fill them with your peace and your comfort. And Heavenly Father, we lift up Rhonda Chase, dear Lord, who's struggling with an illness. Dear Lord, you know what's going on there. We just ask your healing power upon her. Dear Lord, just bless and be with her and her loved ones too. And Father, we pray for Ginger, Cheryl, and my daughter. Dear Lord, as everything she's dealing with as well, dear Lord, it's been frustrating for her like it has been for Cheryl, and that they're having difficulty actually pinpointing what's actually going on, but there is something that needs to be healed. And you are the great physician, and we trust in you there. And so, Father, just praying that as Ginger goes forward with other tests, that we can bring some results so that there can be a proper treatment, which is what we pray for Cheryl as well through this new doctor, dear Lord. Please bless and be with both of them. And, Father, please bless and be with Jerry, Heavenly Father, struggling, certainly, as you know. Dear Lord, so we just pray for comfort for Jerry and your peace in his heart as well, and praying for whatever healing you can give him, to give him strength, Father, and continue to fill him with your joy as well. He's just such a nice gentleman, and we just enjoy him so much. So bless and be with not only Jerry, but with Nancy as well. And Father, we also pray, dear Lord, for Pastor Bonnie. We pray that she's enjoying time with her family. And when the time comes, Father, that you will give her your angel protection and bring her safely home. So, Father, we have prayed for all these people and these situations, Heavenly Father. And now we come to you in the prayer that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, next we have our next hymn. We're going to be singing Away in the Manger, number 205. Please stand if you're able.
And I'm doing a little something different for you today. I didn't know they were both in the hymnal. It's the same words for two different tunes. So we're going to start, the first verse is going to be one tune, the second verse is going to be another tune, and then we're going back to the third. I'll see how we do. I thought it'd be kind of fun to sing both versions, so.
Down your spirit, the spirit.
Great job. You can be seated. I'm just curious, who likes the first and third verse better than the second, or does it really matter? Two? Caroline gives a two. That's the one I think we're probably most used to. Yeah, so you did a great job, though. Did a great job. Thank you. All right, so we're going to say pray a blessing over our offerings. Do we do the doxology first? I forgot. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of all good things. And Father, you have blessed us abundantly in our lives. Father, everything that we have is because of your love for us and your grace. And Father, we are grateful for that. So Father, as we give as we can, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take these monies and that you will use them to further your kingdom, not only in this church, in this community, but around the world, dear Lord. So Father, again, as we can, let us give back to you. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. We're going to go ahead and do our Advent candle now. We celebrate, we're in the third Sunday of Advent right now. The first Sunday, one of the purple candles was for hope, I believe, and the second one was peace. And now the pink candle is the third candle that represents the third Sunday in Advent, and that represents joy. And I kind of cheated and looked up on for joy. Where are we at, kind of? And that's a kind of a transition time. Now we're looking forward to the birth of Jesus. And so that joy is there, that excitement. So we're going to go ahead and light that candle as well today. Absolutely. I agree with that. All right. We're going to go ahead and begin our singspiration with O Come All Ye Faithful. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This comes from Matthew 2, verse 11. John Francis Wade, author of this hymn, was hounded out of England in 1745. He was a Roman Catholic layman in Lancashire, but because of persecution arising from the Jacobite rebellion, streams of Catholics fled to France and Portugal, where communities of English-speaking Catholics appeared. But how could he, a refugee, support himself? In those days, the printing of musical scores was cumbersome, and copying them by hand was an art. In the famous Roman Catholic College and Ministry Center in Douai, France, Wade taught music and became renowned as a copyist of musical scores. His work was exquisite. In 1743, Wade 32 produced a copy of a Latin Christmas carol beginning with the phrase Adestus Fidelis, Laeti Triumphantes. At one time, historians believed he had simply discovered an ancient hymn by an unknown author, but most scholars now believe Wade himself composed the lyrics. Seven original hand-copied manuscripts of this Latin hymn have been found, all of them bearing Wade's signature. John Wade passed away on August 16, 1786, at the age of 75. His obituary honored him for his beautiful manuscripts that adorned chapels and homes. As time passed, English Catholics began returning to Britain, and they carried Wade's Christmas carol with them. More time passed, and one day, an Anglican minister named Reverend Frederick Oakley, who preached at Margaret Street Chapel in London, came across Wade's Latin Christmas carol. Being deeply moved, he translated it into English for Margaret Street Chapel. The first line of Oakley's translation said, "Ye faithful, approach ye." Somehow, "ye faithful, approach ye" didn't catch on, and several years later, Oakley tried again. By this time, Oakley, too, was a Roman Catholic priest, having converted to Catholicism in 1845. Perhaps his grasp of Latin had improved, because as he separated over and over the Latin phrase, Adestus Fidelis, Laeti Triumphantes, he finally came up with the simpler, more vigorous, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. So two brave Englishmen, Catholics, lovers of Christmas, and lovers of hymns, living 100 years apart, writing in two different nations, combined their talents to bid us come, joyful and triumphant, and adore him, born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. I think we could probably stay seated if you'd like through the hymn. So, O come, all ye faithful, number 182.
Thank you. Our next hymn will be O Little Town of Bethlehem, and that will be on page 180. And from Micah 5:2, Bethlehem, though you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel. At nearly 6 feet six, weighing over 300 pounds, Phillips Brooks cast a long shadow. He was a native Bostonian in the ninth generation of distinguished Puritan stock, who entered the Episcopalian ministry and pastored with great power in Philadelphia and in Boston. His sermons were more topical rather than expositional, and he'd been criticized for thinness of doctrine. Nonetheless, he's considered one of America's greatest preachers. His delivery came in lightning burst. He felt he had more to say than time in which to say it. While in Philadelphia's Holy Trinity Church, Phillips, at age 30, visited the Holy Land. On December 24, 1865, he was traveling by horseback from Jerusalem, and he attended a five-hour Christmas Eve service at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. I assure you today's will not be 5 hours. He was deeply moved. I remember standing in the old church in Bethlehem, he said, close to the spot where Jesus was born. When the whole church was ringing hour after hour with splendid hymns of praise to God, how again and again it seemed as if I could hear voices that I knew well, telling each other of the wonderful night of the Savior's birth. 3 years later, as he prepared for the Christmas season of 1867, he wanted to compose an original Christmas hymn for the children to sing during their annual program. Recalling his magical night in Bethlehem, he wrote a little hymn of 5 stanzas and handed the words to his organist, Louis Redner. He said, "Louis, why not write me a new tune for my poem? If it's a good tune, I will name it St. Louis after you." Louis struggled with his assignment, complaining he had no inspiration. Finally, on the night before the Christmas program, he awoke with the music ringing in his soul. He jotted down the melody, then went back to sleep. The next day, a group of 6 Sunday school teachers and 36 children sang O Little Town of Bethlehem. Brooks was so pleased with the tune that he did indeed name it for his organist, changing the spelling of Louis, which was L-E-W-I-S, to L-O-U-I-S, so not to embarrass his friend. The 4th stanza is usually omitted from the hymn books, and it says, "Where children pure and happy pray to the blessed child, where misery cries out to thee, son of the mother mild, where charity stands watching and faith holds wide the door, the dark night waits, the glory breaks, and Christmas comes once more." Never heard that verse. So we shall be singing O Little Town of Bethlehem, page 180.
I was going to say, I can get down better than I can get up.
I have started, my speech has been changing. I'm starting a list. So, of course, I had all these S's in that page. Why so many S's?
Okay.
next hymn we're going to be looking at is Silent Night from Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. It'll be number 186 in your hymnals. It was Christmas Eve in the Austrian Alps at the newly constructed Church of St. Nicholas in Oberndorf, a Tyrol village near Salzburg. Father Joseph Moore prepared for the midnight service. He was distraught because a church organ was broken, ruining prospects for that evening's carefully planned music. But Father Joseph was about to learn that our problems are God's opportunities, that the Lord causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. It came into Father Joseph's mind to write a new song, one that could be sung organless. Hastily, he wrote the words, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." Taking the text to his organist, Franz Gruber, he explained the situation and asked Franz to compose a simple tune. That night, December 24th, 1818, Silent Night was sung for the first time as a duet, accompanied by a guitar at the aptly named Church of St. Nicholas in Oberndorf. Shortly afterward, as Karl Marocker came to repair the organ, he heard about the near disaster on Christmas Eve. Acquiring a copy of the text and tune, he spread it throughout the Alpine region of Austria, referring to it as Tiroler Volkslied. The song came to the attention of the Strasser family, makers of fine chamois skin gloves. To drum up business at various fairs and festivals, the four Strasser children would sing in front of their parents' booth. Like the Von Trapp children, a century later, they became popular folk singers throughout the Alps. When the children, Caroline, Joseph, Andreas, and Amelie, began singing Tiroler Volkslied at their performances, audiences were charmed. It seemed perfect for the snow-clad region and perfect for the Christian heart. Silent Night even came to the attention of the king and queen, and the Strasser children were asked to give a royal performance assuring the carol's fame. Silent Night was first published for congregational singing in 1838 in a German hymn book. It was used in America by German-speaking congregations, then appeared in its current English form in a book of Sunday school songs in 1863. Were it not for a broken organ, there would never have been a Silent Night. God is good. Silent Night, number 186.
Thank you.
Our next song, we've been singing the first verse for the month of December, and I thought we'd sing the whole song today. It's Angels from the Realms of Glory on page 189. And from Psalms 148:2, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Like all Moravians, John Montgomery had a burden for world evangelism. He was the only Moravian pastor in Scotland, and he and his wife felt God's call to be missionaries to the island of Barbados. Tearfully placing their only child, a six-year-old son, James, in a Moravian settlement in Bracehill near some county in Ireland, they sailed away, and James never saw his parents again, for they perished in Barbados. Left with nothing, James was enrolled in a school in England. When he didn't do well, he was apprenticed by school authorities to a baker. Baking just wasn't for James. He ran away and spent his teenage years drifting from pillar to post, writing poetry and trying his hand at one thing and then another. He eventually settled down in Sheffield, England. In his early 20s, James began working for the local newspaper, the Sheffield Register, and there he found his niche. He loved writing. It was a politically active newspaper, and when its owner had to suddenly flee the country to avoid persecution and imprisonment, James purchased the paper and renamed it the Sheffield Iris. His editorials, too, proved unpopular with local officials. On two separate occasions, he was thrown into jail. But he emerged from prison a celebrity, and he used his newly acquired fame to promote his favorite issues. Chief among them was the gospel. Despite the loss of his parents, James Montgomery remained devoted to Christ and to the scriptures, and he championed the cause of foreign missions and of the British Bible Society. As the years passed, he became the most respected leader in Sheffield, and his writings were eagerly read by its citizens. Early on Christmas Eve, 1816, James 45 opened his Bible to Luke 2 and was deeply impressed by verse 13. And that was in our scripture reading today. Pondering the story of the heralding angels, he took his pen and started writing. By the end of the day, his new Christian poem was being read in the pages of his newspaper. It was later set to music and was first sung on Christmas Day in 1821 in a Moravian church in England, Angels from the Realms of Glory. His parents would have been so proud. I can't even imagine what it was like for them to leave him, their only child, somewhere to go and do mission work, and then they never came back. And the pain that he had as a six-year-old boy. But yet he never doubted Christ, and through his life he just served the Lord, and he wrote us this beautiful hymn. And he wrote it in 1816.
I could jump and see if I could stick my landing, but I wouldn't be good. Yeah,
thank you.
last hymn we're going to be looking at in a little depth is Go Tell It on the Mountain. That'll be number 218 in your hymnals. John Wesley Work Jr. may not have had originated the Negro spiritual Go Tell It on the Mountain, but he can take credit for the fact that we still sing it every Christmas. As a son of a church choir director, Work grew up in Nashville loving music. Even though he earned his master's in Latin and went on to teach ancient Latin and Greek, his first love continued to be music, and he went on to become the first African-American collector of Negro spirituals. This proved to be a daunting task for him because they were passed down orally from plantation to plantation. Very few were ever written down, but Work proved up to the challenge and published his first book, New Jubilee Songs. But it was in his second volume that Go Tell It on the Mountain first appeared. The original singers of the song fulfilled the same important task the angels gave the shepherds that first Christmas night outside of Bethlehem, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is born, and thanks to John Wesley Work, Jr., so can we. It's important to remember that Go Tell It on the Mountain is more than just a hymn. It's a historical narrative, a message of liberation, and a testament to the enduring human spirit. Its journey from the plantations of the South to the global stage is a story of transformation and hope, resonating across generations. In the words of this hymn, we find a reminder of our shared humanity, our capacity for resilience, and a transformative power of music to uplift, unite, and inspire. Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 218.
Well, I always told my kids, if you don't believe, you don't receive, so you know. And there was one time, we were at the Covenant Church, and the minister's daughter was a year older than our youngest daughter, who was in kindergarten. And she told Brittany that Stanton wasn't real. So Brittany came home, and she was so mad. She was, "You've been lying to me my whole life." She was fine. So I said, "Next week, ask for the NATO, what she gets in her stocking." Because as Swedish covenanters, they get nuts and fruit and stuff. So Brittany asked her in Sunday school what she got in her stocking, and she got nuts and fruit. And I said, "Well, what do you get in your stocking?" She goes, "Why didn't you get like a Barbie doll and blah, blah, blah?" And I'm like, "That's because you believe in she does." So our kids are always, even in high school, if you don't believe, you don't receive. So they believe. But the one thing that we did to make sure they knew the real meaning of Christmas was we had a birthday party for baby Jesus every Christmas Eve. And we had a nice dinner and our non-alcoholic champagne and real pretty little glasses. And we always bought a gift for Jesus and had a birthday cake for Jesus. And now, as our children are all adults, they say that is their most precious memory. They love believing in Santa, and they love having the joy that brought them on Christmas morning. But what they remember the most is the joy of Jesus' birthday. And I wish I wrote this down. I probably sang it at church at one point. But I wrote a song about the birth of Jesus and what my family did. And I remember the refrain was, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me a family that gave me the most precious gift of all. They gave me the precious gift of Jesus and the story about a little baby in a manger in a stall." That was the refrain. And it was fun to have the childhood memories, but it's also the only gift that we could give our family is the gift of Jesus. So I'm glad that I was raised in a family that gave me, helped me get that gift. It's free. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to do good works for it. It's because of God's grace that we had a little baby in a manger. And we have a bug. A wasp! I'm surprised he's still alive. But anyhow, that's my story.
Thank you, Cheryl. I once read somewhere the whole, do you allow your kids to believe in Santa Claus? And Billy Graham, who I've had a lot of respect for over the years, somebody asked him one time, "How do you feel about the whole Santa Claus thing?" And Billy Graham said, "Let your kids believe in Santa Claus." He says, "I'm not threatened by him in the least." And so, I mean, there's always that union that can be there. And I remember the first time I saw a statue, and it was Santa Claus bending down on his knee over Jesus in a manger. And I just thought how perfect that was. And so why not let your kids have that joy? We hope you've enjoyed the songs that we've explored a little bit deeper. I know for me, certainly Christmas is primary is Jesus coming as our Savior and the gift that God gave that is just beyond belief. But there are certain aspects of Christmas. I love Christmas lights. There's the battle between multi-lights and, for me, and white lights for my wife. But that's all in good. We found that helped in our marriage to have both. But I also, the Christmas music, the hymns, the ones that we've been singing for years and years, and we go back to, and my favorite artists right now are what I remember from my mother's records. Nat King Cole, by far my favorite. Johnny Mathis, Cheryl.
Bing Crosby,
absolutely. So those still, to this day, those versions, I mean, you might, certainly other artists, contemporary artists, have sang those songs and put their little spin on it maybe, and that's okay. I enjoy that music too, but my favorites are always those old versions from the people from when I was a young child. And that's probably it. We've talked about that. It's probably because we were young and innocent and everything. We didn't have worries, you know, at that time. So we hope you've enjoyed it, though, but thank you. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and have you stand, please. And we are going to do first verse one more time as we've been doing. Go Tell It on the Mountain, and then we'll give the benediction. So please stand. Go Tell It on the Mountain, 218. Please raise your hands and receive the benediction. Father in heaven, we thank you for these songs, and we pray, Father, that we can go forth from this church into the world and carry these songs not only in our hearts but on our lips as well. And praying as well, dear Lord, may God, the Father of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you all.